Welcome, everybody. Thank you very much for joining me. The name of the program is America Tonight. Kate Delaney, your normal host, is taking some time off. I am sitting in the chair and having lots of fun. And if you're with us in the first hour of the program, we had a couple of great guests, and one of them is hung over into the second hour of the broadcast for at least one more segment. We're talking about the new Pope, Pope Francis the First, who was just elected, I believe it was Wednesday, or was it Tuesday? I have to stop and think here. Wednesday, I believe, was the day that he officially was announced, and Nielsen Jr., the professor of philosophy and religious thought, an author of Religions of the World, Fundamentalism, Myths, and World Religions, has agreed very graciously to hang over. And Niels, we thank you so much for your bonus time with us here. I find your observations fascinating, and so do our listeners. Let's.
My books are on Amazon, sir.
Great, great. Amazon.com is the best place to get the books.
Yeah.
Good. Let's touch a little bit more on what it means to be a pope in today's world. You know, as you said a little bit earlier in our conversation today, with a simple few keystrokes, with the power of the internet, that the pope's word can be spread throughout the four corners of the globe. This is a far cry from the world of 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 500 years ago. The Pope today has to be, as you said a little bit earlier, it'd be good if he had an MBA. It's also good if he's tech-savvy and media-savvy as well.
Yeah, the Pope knows that people are poor in our world. He's lived in the slums of Buenos Aires as a very humble man. And the gap between rich and poor obviously has religious implications, and the whole question of war and peace must engage not only Christians, but Buddhists, Jews. This is a world in which religion lives in the midst of threats, and it has a vital role to play, I think.
Do you think that we'll ever see an American pope?
Yeah, give us a little while on it. These popes have come from Europe, but they were considering seriously the cardinal in Boston and Cardinal Doland in New York. The Americans are held back, I think, because of the problems we're having with, I guess I have to name it what it is, the sex scandal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not been just in our country. But, you know, we're on the stage of world popes now. And American Catholics are very loyal Catholics. This was primarily a Protestant country till after the Civil War. And then it was the Irish that brought Catholicism to America, and a third of the religious population is Roman Catholic now. But at the same time, American Catholicism is distinctive. We have the great heritage, I think, of separation of church and state.
Mm-hmm.
This is America's great gift to the world, when our country was founded. And Roman Catholics, you know, abide by that and agree with it and propagate it. But, sure, in this world so close together, we might even have, I'm joking now, a black American pope. But it's not beyond possibility.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, it's definitely a different world.
About women is a very important one in the Roman Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
They play a very important part, but they're not allowed the priesthood. And this is a very interesting kind of thing. Some really great people in the Roman Catholic Church that are nuns, people who have done great service. And I many American communities, there's splendid cooperation between people of different denominations. There's an openness there. We learn from each other. And Islam is integrating into American life unevenly, but it's important. But we mustn't underestimate the amount of voluntarism and how much freedom of religion means and has brought to our country.
So true, absolutely. People don't realize it until they study, like you have, the global situation and the way folks are treated and have been treated in over the world and in history. It's quite a bit different from the way religion has been separated from the state here in the United States of America for the last 200-plus years. Our telephone number, once again, if anybody has a question or comment about Pope Francis I, is 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. One of the things that we see here in America, falls into the sex question as far as females being allowed to be made priests. It's not likely, in my opinion, that we're ever going to see a change on that front, at least in my lifetime. But the truth of the matter is there aren't as many young men going into the priesthood, and there's
folks have their distinctive characters, and Roman Catholics pledge allegiance to the Pope. It's not a democratic system,
mm-hmm.
but... Popes can significantly and have significantly changed the world, and unfortunately their weaknesses and defects are on public record as well.
When you look back at history, tell us about some of the most significant popes of the last few hundred years.
The papacy, of course, had large holdings of land in Italy. Only in 1870, at the First Vatican Council, did the Church finally give up its role as a political party with an army. It's been to its advantage to have done that. But there have been all kinds of... The papacy has had its ups and downs. I don't speak just as a Protestant. There have been popes who've been not very desirable people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one woman even had smuggled herself in. The papacy grew up, of course, under the Bishop of Rome.
Hold that thought, Niels. We'll be right back.
Protected the city against the barbarians and preserved civilization.
Just remember,
so the Church has a long history of popes. Celibacy didn't come in any major way till the second millennium, only about 1,000 years old. And East and West were together until 1054. That is what is now Eastern Orthodoxy, and the Roman Catholic Church and the West were joined together until... as I say, 1054. And so we really have three parties here, Eastern Orthodox today, Roman Catholics, and the Protestant Party, which dates from 1517 and Martin Luther.
Freedom
Freedom through self. Hold that thought, and we'll come back with
Wayne
more.
Wayne Haley from Midas Resources, March 14th, 2013. Gold opened today at $15.92.45. 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $15.20.30, a half ounce for $8.10.03, and a quarter ounce for $4.05.02. That's $16.20.30, $8.10.03, and $4.05.02.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there. I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNlive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Thanks so much for listening to America Tonight. My name is Bob Long, filling in for Kate Delaney. We're talking about the election of a new pope. It's Pope Francis I, and joining us for an extended visit here is a professor, Niels Nielsen Jr., professor of philosophy and religion and religious thought, and author of Religions of the World, Fundamentalism, Myths, and World Religions. And you can find his books on Amazon.com. And before the break there, we were talking a little bit about celibacy and the papacy, and also some of the interesting popes that have held office, so to speak, in the long history of the Roman Catholic Church. You mentioned that celibacy is something that's only been around for 1,000 years. I bet that's surprising a number of our listeners.
Well, there was monasticism in the early church. It was a way of escaping from the worldliness of the world. Constantine took on Christianity in 313. So Christianity was persecuted until Constantine. But then he established state religion, and fleeing the worldliness of Constantine, monasticism grew up. But certainly celibacy was not the general rule in the first half of Christian history.
Hmm. Interesting. And as you were commenting on as well, I mean, there are a lot of great women in the Roman Catholic Church, a lot of great nuns. But again, there are lots of folks that would love to see women being ordained, but there are so many obstacles, I would imagine, for that to come into fruition.
Well, I think we have to say, and my Roman Catholic friends would say very quickly, I think, this is a revivalist pope, a restorationist pope, but this is not a reforming pope.
Mm-hmm.
John the 23rd in the 60s, the Second Vatican Council opened the church's windows, and Protestants and Catholics, Jews operated together and still do. but some would say that John the 23rd went too far. But we're not about, I think, to see a change in the priesthood. Or Paul the Fifth had a chance, I think, to affirm birth control, and he retreated from it. So these controversies about sexual morality remain, and the problems that go with them, they're not easy.
So you would expect that this new pope, being, as you said, more of a conservative and not a real reformer, that it's probably going to be stay the course.
Yeah, that's, you know, there is a question of authority. Protestantism is a more diverse kind of thing, with a larger kind of pluralism, but with significant unity as well. So far as Judaism is concerned, the Holocaust was simply perdition and has changed the whole pattern of Jewish-Christian relations. In the end, I think to the best, but with the incredible slaughter of millions of Jews by people who are nominally Christian. So the whole question of interfaith relations is a very important one, and tolerance, how much that goes with it.
Getting back to the fact that this is not only the first South American pope in the history of the church, but the first Jesuit pope. The Jesuit order was founded by Ignatius of Loyola back in 1534. Tell us a little bit about the foundings of the Jesuit order, what it's based in.
Well, it's founded by Ignatius Loyola. And it's a movement explicitly directed against the Protestant Reformation and Protestantism. Jesuits have been wonderful scholars. They've been in and out of politics. They were put out of business by the Pope for a while. Jesuits are the... Well, they're an intellectual and teaching order. They have wonderful universities, Georgetown, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But one pledges obedience and goes, you know, it's a life of discipline and dedication to the church. Monasticism has never worked very well in Protestantism, a little bit. But Protestants have never been able to elevate people the way the Roman Catholic Church has elevated nuns, but it's avoided some of the problems that goes with monasticism. There's a very wide variety, and one mustn't underestimate the variety in Roman Catholicism. The difference between Opus Dei, which is a Spanish contemporary order, and the Jesuits, the Dominicans, and the Franciscans, there's great variety and great strength there. But monasticism's a force in Buddhism, and a little bit in Hinduism, or a bit in Hinduism. But this means that the Pope comes from a strong intellectual tradition, but he also comes from a tradition, assuredly, of obedience. If you listen to what the retiring pope said, he pledged unconditional obedience to the new pope.
Mm-hmm.
And Roman Catholicism is a hierarchical system, which has great strengths, but also presents problems. It's very interesting, I think, to look at people who have been religionists and given it up.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have too many of those in America, but we have what we call the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, and Roman Catholicism has stronger authority structures And when these are given up, it becomes sharper than in other forms of Christianity, I think.
Very well said. Our telephone number is 855-266-5283. Our very special guest is Niels Nielsen, Jr. He's a professor of philosophy and religious thought and the author of Religions of the World, Fundamentalisms, Myths, and World Religions. Tell us a little bit more about that book and some of the other books that you've written over the years.
Well, fundamentalism is a relatively recent phenomena. It's a reaction against modern science. It dates from the era of William Jennings Bryan, just before the Second World War. It's something, a movement to the right that's in Judaism, it's in Buddhism. Then there are the more open groups, some of whom push out even to abandonment of some traditional beliefs. There's a wide variety in religion. There's a wonderful dynamic, I think, in religion. But if we look at what's going on in a country like China, I think it's fascinating. There may be 60 million would be a conservative figure. Closer to probably 100 million Christians in China. The government tried to put them out of business. They're not persecuted to the point of death anymore. In North Korea, you would be. One of my books is being translated into Korean in South Korea now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an interesting thing to know. There's vital Christianity, probably more people going to church in China on a Sunday than in Europe. So that's an interesting field. And one thing we haven't talked about at all, of course, is Eastern Orthodox Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
There was a break between Eastern and Western Christianity in 1054. And on the altar of St. Sophia Church in Constantinople, the Pope sent a letter of excommunication. I personally visited in Eastern Orthodox countries in the time of communist persecution. They suffered terrible persecution.
Hold that thought.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver. UtopiaSilver.com or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com. Taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
I must have dreamed a thousand dreams, been haunted by a million screams, but I could hear the marching feet, they're moving into the street.
Welcome back. Thanks for being here. The name of the program is America Tonight. My name is Bob Long, filling in for Kate Delaney. We've been having an extended visit here with our very special guest. He is a professor of philosophy and religious thought and the author of many books, including Religions of the World, Fundamentalism, Myths, and World Religions. Our very special guest name is Niels Nielsen, and our telephone number is 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. We're talking about Pope Francis the First, the new pope, and the first Jesuit pope, and our special guest has been telling us a little bit about some of the implications of being a Jesuit, as well as some of the history of the papacy. Going back again to your own thoughts about the direction of the Roman Catholic Church here in America, there are a lot of differences between American Catholics and Catholics in other parts of the world. Certainly where the Pope is from, South America, is much more traditional, I would imagine, in their practice compared to American Catholics.
Less difference, I think, than there has been before since the Second Vatican Council. American Catholics were a mission field until the beginning of the 19th century. There was only one Roman Catholic who signed the Declaration of Independence. This is a country that's had a Protestant heritage until the time of after the Civil War. But Catholicism was so often joined with monarchy in Europe. The French Revolution was violently anti-Catholic and anti-religion. Immigration didn't bring many people to this country until the Irish came, and the Irish could speak English. In the period after the Civil War, they also were very strong American anti-English because of their experience in Ireland. So there were times when the Roman Catholic hierarchy were almost on a large part Irish. Our one Roman Catholic president, John F. Kennedy, was of Irish background.
Mm-hmm.
America, in the Second Vatican Council, it was the Americans under Cardinal Spellman who argued for separation of church and state and finally got that into Catholic doctrine. The Americans had an influence there, but Catholicism has oriented itself into a normal part of American life, as has Judaism. And it's had influence on the religious patterns here. Also times of anti-Catholicism. I think one of the most interesting things that's happened in American religion is on the one hand that we have a Afro-American president, and at the same time had an election with a Mormon running against him.
Yes.
And that's something that you couldn't imagine in Europe or much anywhere else in the rest of the world. So America's great gift, I think, has been freedom of religion, and the great figure there is Thomas Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln. These set the pattern for religion in America. And then we had the great gift of Martin Luther King. So all this is an American tradition of tolerance. Those chaps who founded this country were quite religious. They didn't establish a theocracy. Jefferson and Madison fought against it. But religion prospered in America and prospers in America because we have freedom for religion and not freedom from religion. But that means a rather diverse kind of scene. Teaching in a secular university, I've had the privilege of working with everybody from the Mormons to what's on the other side of that. Well, to representatives of the black church. That's a fascinating phenomenon, the black church. And it has an outreach to the rest of the world, I think.
855-266-5283 is our telephone number. Or if you prefer, you can send me an email. It's bob@boblongradio.com. bob@boblongradio.com. This is America Tonight. I'm filling in for Kate Delaney. We're talking about the first Jesuit pope, the first pope taking the name Francis, Pope Francis the First, and talking about this first South American pope with our very special guest. It sounds like you really enjoy your studies and certainly your teaching life. Tell us a little bit about what drew you into the study of religions as a young man.
Well, I was bound for the ministry, and I went to Yale and studied in Divinity School. Yale was a wonderful place. It opened all kinds of doors for me. I think it's so sad to see people who make religion a narrow, rather dry kind of thing. There's all kinds of wonderful research, wonderful books, fascinating books in religion. And I had the choice of taking a parish or coming to Rice University. It's a school with no church connections. They told me they wanted me to come and tell them about religion, but not to be a fundamentalist.
Mm-hmm.
But it's exciting, I think, to work with young people, older people as well. But young people come in and they say, well, you know, I grew up in this tradition or that tradition. What's it all about? And then you say to them, well, why don't you find out what it means to be a Baptist or to be a Roman Catholic or a practicing Jew. And people are interested in religious questions. There are matters of life and death, of life meaning, what kind of family you're going to have, what your morals are going to be. And it's a rewarding thing. It's a shame, I think, to miss how vital religion is in America. There's a new book out by Campbell, American Grace. It's a wonderful book because it describes the whole range of religion in America. Immigrant churches coming over here, religions that were not important in Europe being more important here, large Baptist and Methodist contingencies in the 19th century, growth of Catholicism and Judaism, and now some of the world religions there, and it opens vistas, I think. And I got interested in the president's religion, Jimmy Carter. He's a fascinating fellow.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a book about him and got a translation into German and Dutch. I wouldn't say everything I said in that book about him. I wouldn't be uncritical. But Jimmy was a fascinating man. He came in after the Nixon tragedy, which was a great tragedy. And then Jimmy came along and said, I'm twice born, and we made him president. And then he had that terrible mess in Iran. But Jimmy was a very American kind of person, and still is, one of very great retired president. He's done wonderful things in that thing there. But look at a chap like Bill Clinton. He's a very pious fellow.
Mm-hmm.
Southern Baptist. You learn a lot about America and what it is and what it stands for if you look at what president's religion is and does. And tells us a lot about our own religion and our own country.
Very well said. Well, Niels, I really want to thank you so much for joining us here on America Tonight. And again, we encourage everybody to check out your books, including Religions of the World, Fundamentalism, Myths, and World Religions. And the best place, once again, to find that is on Amazon.com.
Enjoyed talking with you and appreciated your questions.
All right. Thank you so much. Have yourself a good evening. Our telephone number is 855-266-5283. We've got lots of fun stuff ahead here on the broadcast. And again, we invite your calls on any subject. If you want to talk politics, that's fine with me. If you want to talk about sports, I'm up for that. If you want to talk about entertainment stuff, we'd love to hear your thoughts about that. If you want to talk about music, always love to talk about music. Anything is open, and we have lines available for you at 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. When we come back on the other side, we've got some interesting stuff ahead and maybe a mystery guest or two. You'll find out. Don't go away. This is America Tonight.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of world wide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is renovation teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Welcome back, everybody. The music from Robert Palmer. Bad Case of Loving You, 1979. The late Robert Palmer. Remember, Robert Palmer was a big star in the 1980s. One of the kings of music videos, MTV. All those famous videos that he did for the songs like "Addicted to Love" and many others. But he is no longer with us, but we're glad you're with us here on America Tonight. Our telephone number is toll-free from anywhere, 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. We've been talking a lot of interesting stuff so far. We kicked it off by talking about David Letterman, who's the longest reigning late-night talk show host, right up there with Johnny Carson. Your thoughts on David Letterman as a late-night host. Who's your favorite late-night host? Is it Jay Leno? Is it Jimmy Kimmel? Is it Conan O'Brien? Is it David Letterman? Who do you think is the best late-night host of all time? That's a tough one. I'm not old enough to have seen some of Johnny Carson's predecessors, but certainly have heard great stories about Johnny Carson's predecessors. If you were around when The Tonight Show started and Jack Parr was one of the hosts and Steve Allen was one of the hosts, we'd love to hear from you about the skills of those two gentlemen. Of course, Johnny had it for many, many decades, retiring in 1992. I remember that show. And it was a very emotional show for Johnny. And Bette Midler was on there and sang him a song. I remember that quite well. Are you the type of person who likes to look at late-night television? What do you think of late-night television here in 2013 compared to where it was in 1993 or 1983 or 1973 or 1963 or 1953. Certainly there are things that they get away with today on TV that really surprised me, to be honest with you. There are lots of things on some of the modern sitcoms heard and seen in prime time that are quite remarkable. I think years ago, censor-wise, they would never make it on the air, but if you happen to catch an episode of, let's say, Two and a Half Men with either Charlie Sheen or its new host, Ashton Kutcher, they certainly like pushing the envelope there. Another show that certainly likes to push the envelope is the award-winning show on ABC called Modern Family. What do you think about some of these modern-day shows kind of pushing the envelope content-wise? Certainly there's more sexual stuff on TV in prime time than we've ever seen before. And late night, of course, they're a little bit more relaxed. But it's presented differently. In the days of Johnny Carson, in my opinion, it was much more of a kind of a innuendo thing, whereas today things are a lot more blatant, a lot more out there. Who's your favorite all-time late-night talk show host? For myself, I would have to say David Letterman. Number two, I'd have to say Johnny Carson. I hope Jay Leno isn't listening to this, because I've actually interviewed Jay Leno a number of times since I'm the host of Auto World here on the GCN network, and have hosted many other syndicated automotive radio programs on a number of other networks for the last 20 years or so. I've had a number of times where I've sat down with Jay Leno. I've actually been on the stage at The Tonight Show after the show. Didn't get a chance to go back to his garage. I have not ever seen his garage. Most of my automotive journalist friends out in California have been to Jay Leno's garage, but the night I went up to him, he said, "Oh, you know, I'm flying out to Vegas to do a weekend," which he does quite often at Caesars or the Mirage. Those are the two places that he tends to play. "You know, I'll get you the next time." Well, I haven't been out there so much in the last few years after departing Motor Trend Magazine in 2010. I haven't spent a lot of time in California. But one of these days I want to see his garage. But Jay's certainly a great person. He's from Massachusetts, as I am, as Conan O'Brien is as well. There's another guy I have great respect for. I think Conan O'Brien got the short end of the stick a little bit as far as the way that he was given the Jay Leno slot, and then it was taken away from him. I think it was kind of premature to give him the slot. At least that's my opinion. I think Jay Leno should have stuck around a little while longer, and maybe down the road, I think Conan O'Brien could have been a great successor to Jay Leno. Of course, that's never going to happen. Now they're saying that they may put Jimmy Kimmel in that spot, and I've been watching Jimmy Kimmel since his days on Saturday Night Live, and certainly he's a very talented guy. He can do imitations. He can sing. He's definitely a bit of a musician, and he's got enormous energy. But I don't know, in all honesty, if in 2014, as the rumors are circulating around right now, if Jimmy Kimmel takes over for Jay Leno, I think there's going to be some of that same backlash, especially with older demographics. They're not going to really appreciate Jimmy Kimmel, who does quite well in the late night slot that is vacated because of Conan O'Brien going over to TBS. And it's going to be interesting to see. I do find it fascinating that they're talking about putting Howard Stern in the late night position. If this all goes down, that Jay Leno retires and Jimmy Kimmel takes over for Jay Leno, and then Howard Stern may be taking over for Jimmy Kimmel. Personally, I'd like to see that. Howard is a guy that I have not had the pleasure of meeting. I mean, whether you like him or hate him, you certainly have to applaud the gentleman for what he has done professionally. And I've known a number of people that have worked with him. I have been in his studio at Sirius XM in New York, not during showtime, but I've been in the studio. It is an amazing studio. He has a whole wing of Sirius XM in New York City. It's basically two floors of the Sirius XM facility on the Avenue of Americas. And there's one whole corner of one floor that is completely dedicated to the Howard Stern show. And there's tremendous security. You can't get into that area unless you are a guest on the show or a member of the staff. And certainly he's getting paid just an unbelievable amount of money, at least his first contract with SiriusXM. He's getting paid $100 million a year. I'm sure that was dialed back with his recent contract renewal there. But he surprised a lot of people with his TV work on America's Got Talent. You know, a lot of people didn't think that, you know, he would be as likable on TV as he can be. Well, the people that I know personally who know Howard Stern say that Howard Stern, the guy on the radio, is a lot different from Howard Stern, the guy in person. And I know people that have been to his house and people that know his wife and his daughters. And, you know, if you saw the movie Private Parts, which was all about Howard Stern's life, it definitely showed some different aspects of this guy. He's a great interviewer. He's got a great radio voice. He likes to push the envelope. Unfortunately, I think a lot of his radio stuff has fallen into the same old routine, going after 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, or 24-year-old males. It's kind of the same old, same old. I remember as a kid listening to Howard Stern as a disc jockey when he was on 66 WNBC in New York, which is now WFAN, the sports station in New York, where Kate Delaney, the host of America Tonight, worked at one time. And I remember Howard Stern as a very young disc jockey there when I used to scan the AM band from Boston, and I would pick up the great New York station, 66, NBC, 77, WABC, 710, WOR. You know, it was great. I mean, this is before the internet and before being able to listen to internet radio or anything like that was even on the horizon. Just to pick up those great long-distance stations, it was a great thrill to hear a young Howard Stern. And to me, he was a lot funnier then, because he would do his funny bit, then he would play some music, and then he would do his funny bit. It wasn't the diatribe that the Howard Stern show is right now on Sirius XM. That's my opinion. What's yours? Your favorite late-night talk show host, television-wise? Give us a call, 855-266-5283. This is America Tonight.
Don't throw away leftovers. Instead, throw all your leftovers, vegetable peels, eggshells, coffee grounds, pizza crusts, and more into the Bokashi. If you love to garden and compost but don't like the hassle of turning a compost bin or the smell, then check out the EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics. Finally, a way to recycle all your food and plant waste safely and effectively and stop using fertilizers. The EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System. Rather than decomposition, the Bokashi system uses fermentation to break down waste, so it takes less time to create nutrient dense humus for crops or gardens with no turning and no obnoxious odors. To learn more and order your Bokashi online, visit Terraganics.com and click on the orange button. That's Terraganics.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Recycle all your food wastes in about 6 weeks with the Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics.com. Terraganics, life's getting better.